So I've already kind of introduced the song, Reckless Love. Some of you know this song. Some of you have never heard it before, but it was actually rated as the most popular Christian song for the entire last year. So I don't know if Chloe knew that or not, but she picked a very well-known song. It's being sung all over the world. We're going to go through the words of this song, and then I'm going to share some scriptures that really support the message of it. So Chloe's volunteered to be my helper. Chloe, can you read the first part there? Those are the words of the song.
Before I spoke, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me.
Okay. That's kind of an interesting idea, right? That God is singing over us. I always thought that was an interesting image. In fact, I heard other songs that say things like that. You sing over me or you dance over me. And I thought, that is so girly. Where is that coming from? But it's actually from the Bible. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." And as I was thinking about that passage, I got this picture of imagine that you were out in the forest somewhere and you saw a pack of wolves or a pack of wild dogs coming after you. I'm saying wild dogs because I'm thinking, as a Bible guy, in the back of my mind, Psalm 22, where Jesus says that he's been surrounded by a pack of wild dogs. And I ask myself, How would I feel if I was suddenly being attacked by wild dogs? And then imagine that this warrior sweeps in and covers over you. And then the wild dogs begin to attack and scratch and claw at the warrior. And then he begins just to sing. He sings, "What wondrous love is this, oh my soul, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul." And suddenly the dogs start to get frantic and crazy, and suddenly they run away. And I just imagine this warrior standing over me, and I'm defenseless. And something about that song drives away the danger. That was what I thought of while I was preparing this. But I wonder, why would God protect us? I mean, God can see the whole universe. He can see everything. There's got to be things way more special and important for God to be paying attention to than me. Why am I so special? Why are you so special? Why would God rejoice over us with singing? Well, the next part of the song kind of answers that. So can you read the next words, Chloe?
"Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me."
Yeah. And as I read those words, that God breathed his life into me, breathed his life into you, I remember Genesis 2:7 that said, this is during the creation time, right after God makes Adam's body, it says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." There's more to us than just breathing in and out and our heart beating, isn't there? Like, if you took a dead body and just started to try and push air into it, it wouldn't make the person alive. There's something about us that is alive because God has breathed into us. And Job 33:4 says that the Spirit of God has made me, the breath of the Almighty gives me life. And that's really what the song is saying too, isn't it? God loves us because we are a special creation to him. He has breathed into us his life force in a special way. He loves us, and he made us to be a part of some plan of his that maybe we haven't completely figured out yet. But what I want us to remember is that we are alive because God put a part of himself in us. We have his image imprinted on us. Now, normally, if we were singing the song, this is where we go to the chorus. But I want to save that for the end because that's kind of the big exciting part. So I want to go to verse 2 now. Can you read that for us, Chloe?
"When I was your foe, still you love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me."
What is a foe? It's an enemy. The singer of this song is saying to God, "Well, I was your enemy." That's kind of weird. He's singing a song to God. Would an enemy of God sing a song to God? What do you think? Here's something that's hard about. It's one of these hard teachings about what we believe that not everybody likes to talk about. And that is that we are all born as God's enemy. Now, you probably, nobody here would probably say, I don't consider God my enemy, and I don't think I'm his enemy. I don't hate God. But Colossians 1:21 says, and it's speaking to everyone, it says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Well, how can that be? Does that mean God doesn't like us? Can't mean that, right? We've already just understood how much God loves us. He sings over us. He breathed his life into us. He's got to love us. Well, does that mean we don't love him? Here's how I think of it. For all of the kids in the room, has there ever been a time when you were so angry at your parents that you just wanted to scream? You don't have to nod or anything, but I'm guessing that that time has probably happened, because it happened to me when I was a kid. And I was just so angry at my parents. I thought maybe they were my enemies. And yet, do I know my parents love me? Of course they do, right? They love me more than anybody else in the world loves me. Do I love my parents? Well, yeah, I think I do. Well, then how could I get so mad? Well, usually it was because there was something in life that I wanted and my parents weren't letting me have it. And so I started to feel anger, and I dare even say hatred, toward my parents because they were standing between me and something that I wanted. And that's, I believe, what the Bible is saying when it says that we are enemies of God in our minds because of our evil behavior. There's something in us that wants to do things that God doesn't want us to do. It's natural. Nobody has to teach it to us. We don't naturally like stuff that God gives us, and we want to do other stuff. And when you get older, I think that you are going to see even more how many things in the world that people do for fun that the Bible says that we as Christians, as followers of Jesus, aren't supposed to do. When you get into your teenage years, this is going to become even more clear, I think. And if you don't understand what it means to be an enemy of God in your mind yet, you probably will sometime in your teenage years, because that's when I really started to understand this idea. And I'll tell you a little bit about that later. Chloe, let's go on to the next line of the song.
When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me.
This was that line I was telling you about earlier, just before we sang Jesus paid it all. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. Psalm 49, verse 7 and 8 says, no one can redeem the life of another person or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough. What that means is, I can't buy somebody else's life with my life. All of our lives are worth the same amount, and I could never, there's nothing I could give to pay for another person's life. There is actually only one person whose life is valuable enough to buy somebody else's life. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for us all. Do you know what a ransom is? What's a ransom, Sam?
The price you pay to get someone back from a kidnapping or something like that.
Yeah, if somebody's been kidnapped, they may say, this is what we need from you in order to get that person back. And it says that, well, when I felt no worth, Jesus paid it all for me. I wonder if anybody in this room ever has times when they feel like their life is worthless, where they even wonder if they want to keep going on. Well, if you ever start to believe that, I hope you will remember that Jesus has already set the price on your life. And if you think about the world, this is how it always is. The buyer always sets the price. A store can set whatever price they want on an item, but it's only worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. Well, it's on the shelf, it's not worth anything. It's a liability to the store owner. You following what I'm saying? The buyer always sets the price. Jesus bought your life, and he set the price when he did it, because what did he pay for us? His life. Your life is worth the precious blood of Christ, according to Jesus. Now we finally get to the main part, the chorus. So would you read that for us, Chloe?
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till
I'm found.
Leaves of the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you gave yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Wow. Pretty cool words, hey? But what is this talk about God chasing me down and leaving 99 behind? What's that about? You know, Chloe? It's Jesus' story. We're going to read it right now. So let's look at Luke 15, verses 1 to 7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. That means all the bad people that nobody really wanted to talk to. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law, now these are the really good religious people, came along and said, this Jesus guy is welcoming sinners and he's even eating with them. And then Jesus told them this parable, told them this story. He said, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. Jesus says, I tell you that there, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And Jesus says that he is like a good shepherd who leaves the 99 good sheep to go find the one dumb sheep who wandered off where that sheep, he or she, we'll say he or she, wasn't supposed to go. Now let me ask you guys, if you had 99 sheep here, would you risk losing them to go get one? What do you think? No? Maybe? What if the thieves come and get the other 99 while you're not looking? What if those wild dogs come back while the shepherd is off finding that one dumb sheep that doesn't even deserve to be found because it's dumb? Sounds kind of reckless, doesn't it? What does that word reckless mean?
Taking risks.
Could be taking big risks, maybe being unwise, maybe even foolish, maybe even crazy. Like you've heard of a reckless driver, right? Somebody who seems like they're out of control. Well, is God crazy? Is God ever crazy? No way. Is God ever unwise? No, no way. God is always wise. He's where all wisdom really comes from. And for that reason, some people really don't like this idea of saying that God's love is reckless, because nothing about God is reckless. It sounds like we're being disrespectful. And I respect that way of thinking. But I think when this songwriter uses the word reckless, they're not saying that God is crazy. They're saying that compared to the way we think, he seems crazy to us because we would never do what God does. He seems reckless to us, so he's being ironic. You'll learn what that word means later. It's actually us who are reckless compared to God, and God's saying to be more like him. We would never risk leaving our 99 to go get one, but God could. God can, and he wants to. He's looking for the lost sheep in the world. Now we get to this kind of neat bridge part of the song. Chloe, can you read the next words?
There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain, you can climb up, coming up me. There's no wall, you won't kick me down. Lie, you won't tear me down, come after me.
Right. In other words, it's basically saying there is nothing that's going to stand between this good shepherd and his dumb little sheep. Even if he has to kick down walls or climb mountains or light up shadows or tear down all the lies that the world might tell us, even if he has to die, he will do what he has to do to save that little sheep. Because a shepherd lives for the sake of the sheep. That's what they are. They're there to protect the sheep. But there's one little catch, you might say, one problem. Who do you think can run faster, a shepherd or a full-grown sheep? Would you guys agree? Can a shepherd on foot catch up with a sheep that doesn't want to be caught? Any of you had sheep? It's pretty dicey, right? I don't think most of us can catch a sheep that is determined not to be caught. Unless you're Flash. Yeah, Flash can do it. He is kind of the exception. But I don't know if he's ever been a shepherd. The sheep, really, if the sheep wants to be caught, it has to stop running, doesn't it? Well, in my experience, most farm animals don't really like being caught by people. So what's going to make that sheep decide to stop running? Well, remember how we said that we are enemies of God in our mind. That tells me that there's something about us that naturally wants to run away from God. And most non-Christians don't want to be stuck in God's little pasture. They want to be able to do whatever they want, whenever they want, wherever they want. They want freedom. People like to be in control of their own lives, just like I talked about earlier. We kind of like to have control. So what will make that sheep stop running? Well, in my experience, they will stop running if they are actually already stuck in something, like they're already caught by something else and they know that they can't run. Then they might give up. They might stop running if they feel trapped in a corner and don't see anywhere else to run to. Or they might stop running if they've been running for so long they're just too tired to keep going. That would be the three reasons a sheep would stop running. But guys, I have a feeling that Jesus isn't really talking about sheep. Who's he talking about? He's talking about us, isn't he? I want to let you guys in on a little secret about this parable that Jesus told. Because sometimes Jesus uses parables to say, and he uses examples that aren't actually real. There is something in that parable that he just told that doesn't exist. You know who it is or what it is? It's the 99. In real life, there is no such thing as 99 good sheep who have never run away. Nobody starts off as a good sheep. And Jesus used another parable for you guys. You might remember when he talks about it's not the healthy who need to go to a doctor, it's only the sick. So if you're healthy, don't worry, you don't need a savior. Was Jesus saying that anybody could get away without his forgiveness and his salvation? No, there's no such thing as a healthy person. We are all sick spiritually in need of a doctor. This is how the Bible states this fact in Isaiah 53, verse 6. We all, like what? Like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Every single one of us was a lost sheep. Now, kids, I want you to listen closely. If I ask you, do you love God? You would say yes, right? I think you would say you love God. Would you say God loves you? I think you would. Yeah, I know he loves you. And as you get older, you're going to get more and more freedom. Your parents are going to give you a lot of privilege. You'll get to make a lot of your own choices. And the more freedom that you get, the more freedom that you want. And sometimes it'll feel like you can never get enough. And anybody who's trying to control you in any way, you just won't even like them. God makes rules for his children, and they keep us from things that we want sometimes. That day will come for you guys. Maybe you haven't got there yet, but as you get older, there will be things in life that you say, oh, I want that. That would make me so happy. And God's rules are going to say, no, you can't have that. Not if you're going to be following me. And you're going to get mad. and you're going to get annoyed, and you're going to start to think God is your enemy. Just like me, when I was a teenager, I started to think that if it's fun, God probably doesn't like it, because God is just miserable and trying to take away all the fun in life. Hopefully you've never thought that thought, but you might someday. And you know what? God didn't stop me from running away and going wherever I wanted. He didn't stop me. He let me go out there in the wilderness and discover that I really was his foe. And I finally got far enough away from God that I started to feel a little bit like a lost sheep, trying to go my own way. And finally, when I got lost and lonely enough, I finally started to cry out to God, asking him to come and save me from the person that I was turning into. And that's when I realized the truth that this song tells us. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. There's no wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down coming after me. It started to make sense. The truth is, guys, I didn't find Jesus in my life. If anybody tells you, I found the Lord, I found Jesus, they don't get it yet. Nobody finds Jesus. He finds us, right? He is the good shepherd who's looking for us. We discover that he's there when we finally stop running and look behind us, and there he was all along, kicking down walls, tearing down lies, coming after us. And we usually find him after we've run a long ways, and when we're either too tired or too trapped or too stuck to run anymore. And that's why I became a pastor, guys. Not because I think I'm a better person than other people. I know I'm not. But because I get to tell other people about the reckless love of God that came after me. That day may come for you guys when you think God is your foe. He isn't, but in a way, you are his. And someday you will understand what I mean by that. You're going to be really tempted by something, and eventually you're going to give in to it. I don't know anybody in this room who hasn't given in and done things they know were wrong. And you know what? You might give in a lot again and again. You might give in to a whole bunch of different sins again and again. And at some point, there will be a little voice in your head that's the devil. That's going to tell you, you know what, you've gone so far away, the shepherd wouldn't even hear you if you cried out. You're too far. You can't go back now. Don't listen to him. He's a wolf. He's the wild dogs that the Bible's talking about. And that devil is going to tell you that God is too angry, having to spend all that time going to find those lost sheep, that you might as well just get used to living in the wilderness by yourself. He's going to tell you, you are worthless to God. God has too much to think about this little lost, dumb sheep. He's going to tell you you're worthless. Don't listen to him. Remember what this song says. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. Stop running and just cry out and look behind you, and you'll see the good shepherd was there coming after you all along. You know, everybody in this room who is a true Christian came to that moment at some point in their life. And if they haven't, if they're saying, no, I just think Christianity is a good thing to do, they're not really a Christian yet. That's the truth. Nobody starts off good. There is no 99. Nobody is born good. We all start out as dumb little lambs, going wherever we want. So I wonder if there's anybody in this room, maybe you guys, maybe somebody out here, who realizes today that they are lost. Are you ready to stop running? Now, I'm just an under-shepherd here. I'm not the good shepherd. Did you know that the word pastor actually means shepherd? I work for the good shepherd. I don't own the sheep. None of you belong to me. You all belong to God. but I like to be his representative. And so if I can help anybody come home and let the good shepherd catch them and take them home again, if I can be any part of that for you, that's what I want to do, because that's what Jesus did for me a few years back. So I'm just going to let there be a little bit of time for us to come home to the Good Shepherd. And whatever that looks like for each of us, if you've never given your life to the Lord, you are lost. And nobody's judging you or saying you're a bad person. Well, at least we're not saying it any more than we're saying it about each of us. I'm still a bad person. I'm still a naughty little sheep, but the Lord came after me and is changing my life. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you that you sent Jesus as the good shepherd to come and find all the lost sheep of the world. And there are so many of them. And maybe some of them are in this room today. If your Holy Spirit is showing anybody that they are that lost sheep and they need to come home, I pray that they will have the courage to just turn around and come out. Whether that's coming to talk to me right now, or whether that is talking to a Christian that they know, Lord, they don't need me. I don't do anything here except speak for you. But Lord, bring some sheep home. Thank you for your reckless love for us that chases us down no matter where we've gone, and will always come looking for us. We just thank you for that amazing, reckless love that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.